If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back, and we're going to start off with some scripture. Go ahead, Richard.
This is 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving.
Okay, that's good. Now here, we're going to listen to what has taken place. There's a point you go to where there's just music here, and that music is the Pope, and the Pope is in Mexico, and he's sitting there, and they're holding all around him. They're doing these pagan dances, pagan worship. I mean, it's folks, you had to see it. And the Pope is sitting there, and the look on his face, and then now and then he tosses like a ring at something, at these people. But it's really something. So go ahead and take it away, Style.
Pope Francis couldn't make it any clearer that he's a Satan-worshipping false prophet dedicated to ushering in the New World Order. Think again. The pontiff, who rose to power after the conservative Pope Benedict was ousted in a globalist coup, has found a new and even more shocking way to betray his followers. Now, on his deathbed, he's played his final hand, dropping all pretense and making his most brazen, blasphemous move yet. That's right. According to witnesses, Francis announced the coming of Lucifer, and urged his followers to bow down and seek true enlightenment from the Dark Lord himself. Picture it, a frail figure propped up on his deathbed, his voice trembling not with divine grace, but with something far darker. No blessings, no calls to repentance, just a bone-chilling decree to his followers hanging on his every word. Pray to Lucifer for real enlightenment. You heard that right. The man draped in white, entrusted with souls, didn't just stumble into heresy, he leapt headfirst into the cesspit, dragging the faithful with him. Was this his lost confession? A slip of the mask revealing the true master he served all along?
Around the world this morning, prayers for Pope Francis. Outside the hospital in Rome, the hopes of many expressed in candles, balloons, and messages. At New York St. Patrick's Cathedral, Cardinal Timothy Dolan saying out loud what few have been willing to say.
As our Holy Father, Pope Francis is in very, very fragile health and probably close to death.
Francis, who never let age or health issues slow him down, is now well into his second week at Gemelli Hospital. With chronic lung disease dating back to when he lost part of a lung as a young man, the Pope's situation is described as complex by the Vatican. He had a prolonged respiratory crisis Saturday, which required supplemental oxygen, then blood transfusions because of a low platelet count associated with anemia. Now, along with double pneumonia, he is dealing with initial mild kidney failure.
For years, we've been fed the lie, a humble man of God shepherding the faithful through turbulent times. But pull back the curtain and what do you see? A pope who held Islamic prayers in the Vatican, engaged in brazen idol worship in Vatican grounds, and who urged Pride Festival organizers to welcome so-called pedosexuals. The slimy fingerprints of Obama, Clinton and Soros are smeared across this unholy charade. Pope Benedict, a conservative pope, was silent, sidelined, and replaced by a radical mouthpiece, who dared to spit in the face of everything sacred.
Francis and McCarrick were involved in many of the color revolutions from 2013 on. Also, McCarrick was deeply involved in managing the placement of Jorge Bergoglio as the, you know, purported Pope of the Catholic Church. We now are demanding both DOGE as well as the government of Trump to audit all records relating to what they call the Catholic Spring, which was the color revolution, to displace and get rid of the globalist worst nightmare. And who was the worst nightmare? That was Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, because he was against migration in Europe. He was against the climate change. He was against the China deal. He was against the mass UN Sustainable Development Goals. The entire New World Order agenda was being stopped by Ratzinger. Francis knew that. Obama, Biden knew that. Biden and Ted McCarrick are as thick as thieves. They have always been. And this needs to be uncovered.
Of course, Creepy Joe is close friends with the Cardinal, who was ruled not competent to stand trial on charges of molesting an underage child due to a diagnosis of dementia. Birds of a feather. It's little wonder they're both close friends with a Pope who has routinely hailed Satan while punishing those who seek his blessings. Archbishop Vergano knows what it feels like to be punished by Francis for daring to follow the gospel. He was excommunicated by the Pope for speaking out against the Pope's globalist agenda, in particular his creepy friendship with Klaus Schwab. According to Vergano, Francis's true mission was never to uphold the church, but to systematically dismantle it and replace it with a new organization built on Masonic principles.
Confirming the Pactum Sceleri, the criminal conspiracy between the deep state and the deep church. It seems to me that in this conspiracy, the role of the Jesuit has been decisive. It is no coincidence that for the first time in history, a religious of the Society of Jesus is seated on the throne of Peter.
Let's connect the dots the mainstream media won't touch. The Vatican has been a chessboard for decades. Power plays marked as piety. Pope Benedict, the conservative pontiff, was far too traditional for the New World Order's tastes. That's why he became the first pope in centuries to vanish into the shadows. Enter Francis, the perfect puppet. Progressive, pliable, compromised, and oh so willing to toe the line. Obama's silver tongue whispered strategies, Clinton's web of influence secured the players, and Soros's dirty money greased the wheels. The result was a papacy tailor-made for the left's agenda. Francis wasted no time dismissing the biblical account of creation, openly endorsing evolution and the big...
Since we're going to be talking about preparing...
Bang theory instead. From there, he quickly moved on to elevating Klaus Schwab as a modern-day prophet, even granting the WEF permission to rewrite a fact-checked version of the Holy Bible. Then he instructed Christians to stop converting people to the faith and urged the world to accept paedophilia as another form of love. This isn't just a coup, it's a spiritual heist, a takeover of the last bastion of moral resistance. And that deathbed sermon in which he encouraged young people to pray to Satan for guidance? That's the smoking gun. The signal to their minions that the endgame is in motion. Because what Pope Francis revealed in his final moments wasn't just a betrayal of his flock. It was a signal, a warning, that the next phase of their plan is about to begin. And if you think you're ready for what's coming next, think again. Francis went further with his support of the WEF and their vision of a techno-communist world, announcing that Christians must become communists, presumably of the Schwab-approved variety. In 2023, Francis joined forces with former president and Jeffrey Epstein associate Bill Clinton to announce that humanity must be urgently depopulated to save the planet. The same Pope, who recently told his followers that Lucifer is returning and he deserves respect, is also on record informing 33,000 pilgrims in St. Peter's Square that relationships with Jesus are dangerous and harmful. Are you starting to see a pattern emerging here?
Quante volte abbiamo sentito questo? Questo non va. C'è chi ritiene di poter avere un rapporto personale, diretto, immediato con Gesù Cristo, al di fuori della comunione e della meditazione della Chiesa. Sono tentazioni pericolose. Sono tentazioni dannose.
So, how did we get here? Simple. Years of infiltration. Corruption festering under the gilded domes of the Vatican while the world slept. Want to see what Satanism hiding in plain sight within the Vatican walls looks like? During a ceremony that Pope Francis demanded was broadcast to the entire world, the Jesuit Pope announced the imminent coming of Lucifer and followed up with some sickeningly blasphemous dogma.
With great pomp, fanfare, and ceremony, Pope Francis, the head of the Jesuit order, announced through his canter the imminent emergence, the near advent of the coming to light of the Antichrist. Father of Jesus Christ! The canter acknowledged Lucifer as the Antichrist himself and worshipped him. To this, a great crowd and the whole world sang. This was the 3D ceremony that the Pope wanted to be seen worldwide. The announcement to the world, the son of perdition, this way comes.
Pope Francis's inverted version of Christianity is confusing for many. However, the picture becomes clearer when you understand who the pontiff is really serving. Like Schwab, the Clintons, Obama, and other members of the global elite, Pope Francis is a Luciferian hiding in plain sight. Pope Francis is actively defying biblical scripture by working to create a one-world religion by destroying Christianity in favor of what he calls Chrislam.
More steps towards the one-world religion have just taken place on September 14th and 15th, 2022, with Catholicism and Islam pretty much coming together and say, yeah, we worship the same God and we're brothers and sisters, just different paths to a different God. This is all falling under the umbrella of the uniting of the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, of course, but not the real Christianity. It's Catholicism that's being united under this one world religion. The big event that took place on September 14th and 15th was at the 7th Congress of Leaders of World and Traditional Religions, and it concluded on last Thursday. But before I get into that, I'll briefly just touch on and remind people of the Abrahamic family house being built in Abu Dhabi, where it's a religious center for Catholics, Muslims, and Jews to all come together and worship all through the Abrahamic religions there at this one thing. The reason this is important is because 2 Thessalonians 2:4 tells us that the Antichrist will demand the worship of himself and his image from everybody, and anyone who doesn't worship him, these people will die. Actually, they will become martyrs, because the only people who won't worship him will be true believers in Jesus Christ, which is not mentioned by Pope Francis at any of these big meetings. So let me read a little bit from this article about it. The world religions leaders today adopted the human fraternity document signed by His Eminence, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar and Chairman of the Muslim Council of Elders, Dr. Ahmed Al-Tayyib, and His Holiness Pope Francis, their name, not mine, of the Catholic Church in Abu Dhabi in 2019. And this came during the 7th Congress of Leaders of World and Traditional Religions, which concluded on Thursday. Some highlights from the World Congress of Religions. We note that pluralism in terms of differences in skin color, gender, race, language, and culture are expressions of the wisdom of God in creation. Religious diversity is permitted by God, and therefore any coercion to a particular religion and religious doctrine is unacceptable. So, as you can tell, They're not saying here at these events that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, the only way to heaven, because that would contradict Islam and Judaism. So it's uniting, everybody's giving up the truth.
Who's calling the shots? The same cabal that's been tightening its grip on every institution, godless, power-hungry, and hell-bent on turning belief itself into a weapon against us. But here's the kicker. They didn't count on us. The awake, the defiant, the ones who see through the smoke and mirrors. Pope Francis has made it more than clear whose side he's on. And we've hardly even mentioned the paedophilia scandal that he presided over, which is rotting the Catholic Church from the inside out. We should keep a very close eye on this Jesuit Pope during his final days. Here at The People's Voice, we're determined to continue exposing the elite, but we need your help.
All right, we're back. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, of whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel that you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Okay. So he's making a point here that, and when they're preaching another Jesus or preaching another gospel, that word bear there isn't the way that we use it. You know, if we use the word bear today, it means like if we have a backpack, you know, if we're holding a heavy weight. But that word means to push against. We might well push against it, okay? Mm-hmm. And so he's telling you there in verses 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that they may be found even as us. In other words, he's saying that there are those that are coming to say, well, we're just like Paul and Peter and the apostles, okay? And he goes on to say, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Mm-hmm. We're living in the days of great, great apostasy. We're seeing in the Episcopal Church literally witchcraft, okay? Here, the United Church of Christ has virtually satanic churches. There's certain, you know, everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, they embrace. All of the most of the new pastors in that great apostasy are women, and they're lesbians. Many of them are married to each other, you know. I mean, and it's just unbelievable the apostasy. They have daycare centers made so they make little children available to sodomites. This is the day that the Bible referred to as the day of the great apostasy. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you're seeing that. Now, we mentioned earlier, folks, you don't want to be blinded. You don't want to be blinded. Richard, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter. Let me see. Maybe that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and read me verses 1 through 7.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the true commandments.
Commending
ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That was
all right. Well, okay, now here, the very first commandment is what? Have no other gods before me, right?
That's right.
Right.
Well, not only have no other gods before him, but don't have any after him either, right?
Right. Right.
And so here, we're seeing this idol worship. We mentioned earlier, you know, how people, you and I have seen it in our time with, you know, with, when Elvis came along, you know, they it got out of hand where, some of these young girls have just, they were praying to Elvis, okay? They set up, you know, statues.
Shrines,
and,
almost.
Shrines,
yeah.
Of, yeah. Okay. And then same thing happened with the Beatles, each of them, you know, they.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did Paul McCartney say? Or was it John Lennon said what? We are more popular than Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One of them said
yeah,
that,
he yeah. made that statement.
John Lennon, I believe.
Yes.
Pardon?
Yeah.
John Lennon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, Elvis went in the other direction. When those women held, I was watching that concert at that time years ago, and in the front row you had all of these women, and they raised up these young girls, and they had a banner that's about 25 feet long and says, Elvis is king. Now, Elvis knew the whole story about Herod and the Magnificent, okay, and how he came down with a bad case of worms, okay?
Yes.
And so what happened was Elvis stopped. You could tell by the look on his face, he was scared. And he said, no, he said, Jesus is king. Take it down now or I'll the concert's over. Take it down now. Now, what happened? Those young women, they cried. They were so hurt because they're king, okay?
Mm.
But there's only one king.
That's right.
Okay, and that's King Jesus, okay?
That's right.
And so you have to be, what constitutes worship? Well, we're seeing that line coming. A lot of people today, you know, coming that way here, and they come close to that with Donald Trump. I mean, and that shouldn't be. Look,
mm-hmm.
he's a good president, and let's give him, commend him. But, folks, you got to be careful. Listen. God's listening. God's listening, okay? He's paying close attention.
Mm-hmm.
And are you following Donald Trump more than you're following him?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we also have to remember that Christ said that the word says that the government shall be upon his shoulders, and that rock is soon in coming that's going to smash that image that Nebuchadnezzar had. That
absolutely.
Yeah.
The situation where there are some people, they somehow think that the Pope is God on earth, and he is not.
No.
And this Pope that is there is as corrupt gets. He is an antichrist. And real Catholics, those that are biblically literate, and I know a lot of them have told me they recognize right away they're more anti-pope than we are. I mean, and I don't blame them for being so, but here. So people need to understand, what is this all about? Okay, what is this all about? I think it's a pretty clear sign that the Lord is giving us now. The great apostasy is upon us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be cognizant of it. And we need to be the watchman on the wall and try to warn people. But again, folks, forget what your tradition teaches. Go to the Word of God. Get a King James Bible. Listen. Mm-hmm. When the preacher is preaching, don't trust what he's saying. You follow along. You take your word of God. Okay, look, that preacher you're listening to, he's going to be gone someday, probably soon. God's word will never fade away. Okay, heaven and earth will pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you take God's word and you listen and you follow and you see if that preacher is preaching the word of God or if he's preaching another Christ. It's very important that you do that because, again, there's a lot of signs there. I mean, mm-hmm. the signs are becoming, and to have this happen, you know, this Pope has said a lot of things. I mean, unbelievable. I could not believe, you know, some of the things he said. And then I know that people couldn't see it, and because obviously we're on radio. But in that, where he was sitting there, you had these people all around him doing occultic like dancing, and you had some of these young women, very lightly clad, clothes, scantily clad clothes on, and it was very ugly. And some of what's been taking place in the Vatican, it's being leaked out from within the Vatican. Okay, the word is getting out, and so.
Well, like you read in Matthew 24, Jesus said there's going to be signs, and so be alert, be aware that when you see these signs coming, know whether it's the end times or not.
Yeah.
And we're seeing some signs that really seem to be pointing that way.
Yeah. And also, as you mentioned, the Pope is talking about follow Lucifer, but you know, we're reminded in Galatians, it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he says it again in verse 9. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And there's something in that video there. There was another gentleman that the Pope excommunicated, and actually that's what a curse means, let him be anathema or let him be excommunicated. So he's excommunicating somebody, but he himself needs to be excommunicated.
Yes.
According to this, preaching another gospel.
Well, these were the actual Catholic bishops that held to the faith, and they tried to expose the Pope there, and so they... But they're gaining a lot of followers now. Then the people that read the Bible and understand the actual teachings of the early church are they're following Pagano and the others, and not the Pope.
Yeah,
yes.
And so, anyhow, that's where all that's going. Yes. Lisa wants to do something. Lisa's got an article. Go ahead, Lisa. Go on.
Breaking news. Judge John Bates just sided with DOGE and rejected an attempt to block their access to federal systems. This means DOGE now has full clearance to dig through Elizabeth Warren's CFPB, HHS, and the Department of Labor. Expect more panic, more meltdowns, and a lot more misplaced money getting found.
Elizabeth Warren said, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the taxpayers have to know what we're doing with their money. Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That, I mean, that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It certainly does.
Okay. You have an article there, Elder?
Yes, I do. Shocking Doge uncovers over 4 million government credit cards linked to 90 million unique transactions. It says, in a bombshell revelation, the Department of Government Efficiency has exposed a shocking level of federal spending abuse, revealing that the U.S. government has over 4.6 million active credit cards in circulation, processing a staggering 90 million transactions worth nearly $40 billion in a fiscal year 2024 alone. DOGE, the new federal watchdog agency established under President Donald Trump, posted its findings on X on Tuesday, accompanied by a breakdown of federal agency expenditures. The U.S. government currently has 4.6 million active credit cards accounts, which process 90 million unique transactions for $40 billion. It says DOGE is working with the agencies to simplify the program and reduce administration costs. We will report back in 1 week with the account, they wrote. And it says, leading the charge in spending, none other than the Department of Defense, DOD, which boasts roughly about 2.4 million individual accounts and a jaw-dropping 27.2 million transactions in just one fiscal year. In response to Doge's report, President Trump issued a scathing memo on Tuesday ordering all government agencies to implement radical transparency when it comes to spending taxpayer money. The United States government spends too much money on programs, contracts, and grants that do not promote the interests of the American people. For too long, taxpayers have subsidized ideological projects overseas, and domestic organizations engaged in actions that undermine the national interests. The American people have seen their tax dollars used to fund the passion projects of unelected bureaucrats rather than to advance the national interest. The American people have a right to see how the federal government has wasted their hard-earned wages. And lastly, it says that I therefore direct the heads of executive departments and agencies to make all appropriate actions to make public, to the maximum extent permitted by law, and as the heads of agencies deem appropriate, to promote the policies of my administration. The complete details of every terminated program, canceled contract, terminated grant, or any other discontinued obligation of federal funds.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
And I won't ever let you down, but you should have a fear of me.
This world you made in glory, your word is history now, my Lord. From sin I'm free, your love has done this for me, I pray.
All right, we're back. And, folks, I want to tell you very quickly, too, just to remind you that we have that newsletter, and a lot of information in that newsletter, good information you really need. It doesn't cost you anything. It costs us, but it's free to you, and you really need to get that newsletter. So how do you get it? One of the ways you can get it is by just calling 440-338-1036. That's 440-338-1036. If no one answers, leave a message very clear, your name very clearly and your address very clearly, and leave a phone number there, and we will get back to you. So, all right, with that, Richard, you got an article there very quickly.
Yeah, this is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President Donald Trump's pick to lead the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, has reinstalled science into the federal agency. That's interesting. In a new guidelines that was released this week, his first in his new assignment after confirmation by the U.S. Senate, Kennedy made clear that human life begins at conception and that there are only two biological sexes, male and female. Also, what he has done is he's froze the contract that Biden had put in. It was a $240 million contract to develop an oral COVID vaccine.
And he's, oh boy.
He's frozen that contract until more research can be done. He's paused it for 90 days, it says, until it can be verified whether it's really worth going into researching this. Okay.
All right, Lisa, you have a quick article
okay,
there.
Here's a fast one. Trump on Putin, quote, "I think he'll keep his word. We had to go through the Russian hoax together." And this is a fast one. Don Lemon said that Michelle Obama is much better looking than Melania Trump. Really?
Really?
Last one is really, really short. It just says about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., congratulations for Steak and Shake for being the first national fast food chain to begin the transition away from seed oils. Thanks for leadership in the crusade to make America healthy again.
Yeah, Steak and Shake, it says we're going to go back to what is healthy more than what is
yes.
profitable. So
mm-hmm.
can you believe that? That's common sense. All right.
Yes.
We're at that time. Well, do you have a quick article?
I do. This one is from about Elizabeth Warren. She said she was caught here saying there is nothing in the Constitution that says ordinary citizens have a right to see what we spend our tax dollars on. And that was quoted in 130.20.25. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7. No money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law and a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published.
Absolutely. There you go. And see, but that's the mindset of all the Communist Party, the Democrats.
Again. Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, that, you know, what belongs to me is mine, and what belongs to you is mine, too. I mean, that's the mindset of those people.
And it's none of our business to know what they're doing with the money, according to her. Huh?
Right.
Right. We know better for what's better for you than you do, right?
Oh.
I mean, that's the mindset of these people. Anyhow, we're going to bring on Pastor Hal. And Pastor Hal, you're here with me. And this is, we're at that point where we come to the most important part of the radio program tonight.
And yeah, so, Pastor, I was going to let Pastor Rich and Elder Randy go first this time.
All righty. So we have a three-way, those of us that want to give an invitation. So, who wants to start first? You want to?
Yeah, I was. I'm going to do this real quick because I think it's important for the listeners to understand that the Bible teaches that very clearly in Romans, and I always like to go through that once in a while. That what they call Romans Road, and it starts off in chapter 3. Verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." So none of us can say we're pure in God's sight. We all have sin in our lives. Then in verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And stepping over to verse 12 in chapter 5, It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That was when Adam and Eve sinned. That was, now we're born into sin, or a sin nature, because of Adam and Eve. But God commended, verse 8, his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God gave his life up in Jesus Christ, and that blood was shed for our sins. And then in verse 9 of chapter 10, it says, for if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that tells us very easily what it takes to be saved.
Okay, I want to say quickly that it is time to make a choice. Time is running out, and according to 2 Peter, the Bible says that knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Well, let me answer that, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Hal. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, or to anyone that is not saved right now, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Saying then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And I'll just say this, I'll turn it over. I was amazed at the basketball players and the football players, how while they were at the games, these are million-dollar players, but their homes were broken into. And it was amazing, because I'm thinking, like, where is the security system? They have enough money to pay for security guards. But this is talking about that the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. And so it doesn't matter how much money you are, how rich you are. Listen, this time is going to catch you off guard. Go ahead, Pastor Hal.
Yeah, you know, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you become a son of God, you become a born-again Christian the moment you receive Jesus. That means you receive the payment he paid for you on that cross. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. He knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He also said, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway, that without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. But God don't want you to go to hell. He wants you to come to heaven. And the Bible says that whom we have redemption through his blood. When he died on Calvary's cross, God was allowing him to shed his blood on that cross to wash away your sin and mine. But that don't become yours until you repent of your sin. Now, tell him you're sorry about your sins, mean it, and ask him to come into your heart. He's knocking at the door of your heart right now, and you can open up that door and let him come in and give to you that payment he paid for you. If you'll do that, then just how about saying a simple prayer with me right now and just meaning it. He says, for whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. He calls us to pray. So if you want saved, if you want Jesus to save you, pray right now. Dear Lord, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner. I've sinned in thought, word, and deed, and I repent of my sins. And Lord, I believe you died on that cross and shed your precious blood to wash away my sins and save me from hell. And I right now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, guys.
Well, folks out there, what we're telling you is, as we told you earlier, now is the time. Get yourself a King James Bible. There's all kinds of people preaching all kinds of messages. Like, for example, Lord's willing, Sunday, unless the Lord changes it up, I'm going to be preaching on, will we know each other in heaven? See, A lot of people ask these questions, and what about animals? Will there be animals in heaven? And what about our pets? Now, the Bible speaks directly to some of these things, but on others it kind of hints, but then others, well, you know, you have opinions, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the things that just doesn't matter. But for you out there listening out there, I suggest you really do get a King James Bible. Look, the King James Bible is the Bible. God didn't give us 200 different versions. He gave us his word. By far, the King James Bible is superior to all of the versions out there. Would you agree to that, Richard?
Yeah, and if you don't understand that, you can do a translation study and prove it fairly quickly, and there's a lot of good books out there to study this. But the, what's really most important thing is study the Bible, study the Word, step out on faith and just pick up the King James Bible and read it.
Yeah.
If you want to study the translations, that's a nice side thing to do. But the most important thing is to be putting God's Word into your hearts and your mind, and that's spending time with the King James Bible.
Also, Pastor, with the King James Bible, some people say that it's too hard to read. But I remember Gail Ripplinger, who did an exhaustive study on the various Bibles. She said
she
that the King James.
She was a very good friend of mine, Gail. Was,
yeah, she said that the King James Bible was written at a fourth grade level.
I had her on this radio program many times. And let me tell you what I know from experience, and Richard, you know, and how I had taken over the years in the prison ministry. We had people, inmates in there that had a third grade level, okay? Some of them could barely read. In fact, there was an article today, I didn't get to that one, about a college girl. She graduated from one of these universities, and she's suing the university because they graduated her, and she still wasn't able to read or write, okay?
Oh, wow.
But anyhow, here... We had some inmates, and especially I remember Willie is one that he could not, he couldn't read. Now, how did I know he couldn't read? Because he could memorize some Bible verses, but one day when he was sitting there and he had the Bible open, he didn't realize it was upside down.
Oh,
and I'm looking at it, and he's quoting scripture, but he can't read. And then, I realized he couldn't read. Mm. But, you know, you can take a guy that's got a first grade reading level and use that King James Bible. We've done it, and it teaches you because it gives you a different verses. It will give you an application, and then two verses after that, you know, it might use something like the word big, and then it might be gigantic, or in other words, so it teaches you how to read. It actually teaches you the meaning of words as you go.
It defines the words right in the text.
Yeah, so. Not only that, but you know, it. People say, "Well, I don't know if I can understand the Bible." I had I had one of my older sisters say to me, "Honey, I'm reading this, but I just don't understand it." And I said, "Well, here, did you pray before you read it? Did you pray and ask the good Lord to give you to show that to you?" She said, "No." I said, "So start over, okay?"
Yeah.
And that's what you, whenever you study the Word of God, first of all, you go to the Lord and ask him to let you know what it means, okay? Before you even start, and you do that with everything we do. We should, ask the Lord to teach us and to show us how to do it.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, well, is that the way you interpret that? No, I don't interpret it. I let the Bible interpret itself. It does a real good job of interpreting itself, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But, folks, this is what we're trying to tell you out there. And, Pastor Hal, you want to add to that?
No, just like you said, get a good King James Bible. And the Apostle John said that the people that ask Jesus come into their heart, just like those people did tonight, that they have eternal life right now and then, and right now and here, and nobody can ever take it away from them.
And once you do that, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling with you.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is going to help you to understand the Word of God. So, and you don't have to understand the whole thing. You're never going to understand the whole book. So just start small and just start trying to understand a little bit of it.
In fact, Scripture makes it clear we'll have all of eternity to learn, you know, because, you know, we read the Word of God, and, you know, you often heard that the Constitution's a living, breathing book. It's not, okay? The Bible is. The Bible is a living, breathing
book. Yeah.
Because we're seeing things that, well, that 50 years ago people couldn't understand, you know, but that we've seen these prophecies fulfilled in our own lifetime. Now that now we understand it, we're seeing how science does not give credence to the Bible. It's the Bible that give credence in whether or not it's science. Mm-hmm. Paul referred to that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 when he says, for science, falsely so-called. That's what you have today with the so-called green movement and the they have science falsely, the so-called, this whole environmental movement. Got nothing to do with science. It's about as far off as you get in so many things, okay?
Yeah. You know, Pastor, God hides things from the wise and prudent, and he reveals it unto babes. And I'm reminded of Peter and John, who, when they had the Holy Ghost boldness upon them, that they actually looked at them and perceived that these were men that were unlearned.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, because they had been with Jesus, they were able to move with great authority. So it's not about, reading the Bible from front to back. Because you'll have people that say, well, I've read the Bible from front to back three or four times. But, yeah, you're still not getting what the Word is telling you because your heart is not right. You haven't humbled yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, folks. Before you read the Bible, pray and ask God to give you, to show you, to open your eyes to what he wants you to know there, right?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
And so, but the important thing is that you do this. Say, well, you know, I don't agree with everything you say. You don't have to agree. We're not asking you to agree with what we're preaching here and teaching, okay? We're telling you, go to the Word of God. Check us out. You know, mm-hmm. When I'm behind this mic, you know, like I tell the people in the church, open your Bibles and check it out, okay? Because, again, you know, one of these days I won't be here, but God's Word lasts forever.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And, you know, when for us that have preached, when we, you know, I know we always, and I think that's very true with Pastor Sanders, too, we're always praying that we're not going to teach any error.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always praying to present the Word in a way that somebody can understand it and it would touch their hearts.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's because preachers and teachers, Bible teachers and preachers, are held to a much higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells you very clearly, you better know what you're talking about when you do it, right?
Absolutely.
You don't handle God's Word carelessly. You have to handle it with a care.
Fearful mm-hmm. thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen. Yes. How much time do I have out there? Okay, we're at that time where we come to every night, where we want to say thank you all for being here and listen to, remember what we just said about read the Bible. We're mm-hmm. living in very exciting times right now. And so we want to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless to you all.
God bless
you.
Remember, we did it before Trump did. And then we want to say, always
keep fighting
the fight.
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 Fight. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.